either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال الملك ائتوني به فلما جاءه الرسول قال ارجع إلى ربك فاسأله ما بال النسوة اللاتي قطعن أيديهن إن ربي بكيدهن عليم صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Respected brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, the king of Egypt had seen a dream, and he saw in his dream 7 cows, fat cows, and 7 thin cows, and he saw a grain of corn that were green and lush and complete, and another grain of corn that was dry. And then he said to his ministers that if you can tell me the meaning, the interpretation. Obviously they did not know the meaning, they had no knowledge of this science. But the butler that was there, he wanted to take advantage. And he said to the king that I will give you information. And he went to Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. And Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam immediately gave him the information. And that is where we stopped in the last session. The Kalam of Allah, the Quran, it's not a storybook, of course. There are important morals and lessons that we learn from the Quran. Here we see Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, the Nabi of Allah, when they wanted help and they wanted information, and all they asked for was interpretation. Can you give us the meaning of the dream that the king has seen? Bas. And this was enough for Yusuf alayhi salam. But Yusuf alayhi salam, not only did he explain to them the meaning of the dream, at the same time he also gave them the solution of the problem. That this is the dream, this is the meaning, this is the difficulty that you people will face, and this is what you have to do. Our scholars have mentioned that you will find today many people who love to criticize, who love to find faults. And all people do is just identify issues. What do? Identify issues. People like to nag. People only complain. This is the problem. This is a problem. This is a problem. That is a problem. That is a problem. This issue. This issue. Subhanallah. And what happens is that they identify the problem, but they haven't got the solution to that problem. The people who are wise, intelligent people, leaders, people who are intelligent, people who are of good character, their attitude is very different. Even if they were to identify a problem or an issue, immediately they will also tell you what the solution is. And the Quran is saying that this is what a person needs to do. That we must not just criticize, we must not say that These are the problems. This is what we need to do. This is happening. This is happening. But by what can you do? How can you resolve this issue? What is the solution? If what you are saying is there, okay, khair. But what are you doing? What is there? What have you done? So when you look at Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, subhanallah, he gave them everything. The answer, the meaning, the interpretation, and he also said to them that this is what you have to do. Imagine if Yusuf alayhi salam didn't give them the interpretation of the dream, that 7 good years, and then after that 7 severe famine and drought, and you will suffer. And if you had no food for 7 years, the people of Egypt would die. But he saved their lives. And so what is very important, my respected brothers, is that we must be intelligent enough to also look into the solution of that problem. That is how the mindset should work. And this will help you everywhere in life. In your business, in your work, in your relationship, in your friendship, in your marital relationship. Everywhere, because you have problems everywhere. And when you have problems, also try to find the solution. Now, how will someone understand what is right and what is wrong, and how is he to be a man who is wise and provide the right answer, or who will give the right answer? This is also very important. Sometimes you will find people who will say, this is what we do, this is what we do, this is what we do. But the answer they give is wrong. The answer they give is wrong. Very wrong. Our scholars have mentioned, the more a person understands the Quran and understands the hadith and the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the more intelligent he becomes. The more intelligent he becomes. The more you understand the verses of the Quran, the message of the Quran, the more intelligent you become. The Quran actually opens the doors for you. The Quran has the answer for every difficulty. That is why I always say that there is only one religion on the face of this earth that can give you the answer to all of your questions. You will find in some religion, they will say, and they have a policy that, look, you don't talk about religion, don't talk about religion, just do this, bas. Don't get into this, just continue doing this. Why? Because they don't have the answers. That is why you will see that the most important chapter of the Quran, one of the chapters of the Quran which is described as the heart of the Quran, which is Surah Yasin. And so how does Surah Yasin start? Yasin, what is it? Wal Quranil Hakim, subhanallah. The heart of the Quran is giving everyone a message. Wal-Qur'an al-Hakim. That if you want to become wise, if you want to become wise, if you want to have the right understanding, then attach yourself with the Qur'an. When you are with the Qur'an, you understand the Qur'an makes you Hakim. The Qur'an makes you Hakim. You become the most wise. This is the power of the Quran, my respected brothers and elders. That is why these majalis are so important. It helps a person all the time. Just last session, there was a young boy, mashallah. After the bayan, he came to me. He says, Mauli Sahib, you know what, after listening to the bayan, in 25 minutes, 30 minutes, my entire life of marriage, my questions that I had have been answered in the tafsir you did. Just in the last session. have been answered in the tafsir. Subhanallah. This is the power of the Quran. The Quran is amazing. Every verse, there are morals and lessons for us to take. You never identify the problem, but with that problem you give a solution. So you are comforting that individual. What is it? Because if you're just Mr. Problem and you just identify the problem, it's very difficult. People will not want to talk to you. People know your habit that this is what he does. And this was also the trait of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. That is why when you look at Islamic history, there is a community in the Arabian Peninsula which is so backwards that before the coming of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nobody even wanted to touch the Arabian Peninsula. Nobody wanted to know the Arabs that were there. They were people of no status. But when they stayed in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and only in 23 years, how many years? 23 years. Nabuwat was given at 40, Allah's Nabi passed away at 63. In 23 years, their attachment with the Quran and with the Sunnah made them the most powerful human beings on the face of this earth. They crushed the superpowers of the time. The Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, subhanallah, in a short span of time they went everywhere around the world, subhanallah. Wherever they went, the flag of Islam was hoisted, mashallah, it was there. Wherever they went, Islam was there. Wherever they went, mashallah. Why? Because they were people who were wise, their character was good. That is why also when we look at Islamic history, the head of state. Now imagine today how many Muslim countries we have. How many Muslim countries? Let's take for an example the Middle East. The Gulf countries that are there. I am just saying that how many individuals who are the head of states are in the habit of listening to the tafsir of the Quran or will be going to the masjid to listen to the bayan. How many people do you think, how many leaders will be there in the front of listening? Do they ever have some connection with the Quran? With the scholar, what he will want to say? No. In fact, what they do is that they make a scholar into a news broadcaster. So what they do is they give him a paper and as if he's reading from a paper, wo popat ki tarah, parrot ki tarah, he's just reading. There's no impact. People don't understand. You are just giving virtue, 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 bas. When you're just giving virtue and nothing else, people don't understand. So you really don't understand Islam. You really don't know what is happening. So what happens? You are qualified from where? Oh, you know what? I'm qualified from Oxford University. From America, this university. I'm going back to my country. And so when I'm going back to my country, this is the post I will be given. I will become the Minister of Agriculture. I will become a foreign minister. I will become the Minister of Education. So you become a minister. But what is your attachment of the Quran? What does the Quran say? Wal Quran al-Hakim. When you look at Islamic tarikh, when you look at Islamic history, the head of state was either a scholar, or if he was not a scholar, his right-hand man was a scholar. Any book of history you pick up, that he was either a scholar himself, the head of state. That is why if you look at India's history, all of the Muslim kings were great alims. What were they? In fact, they were such great alims that in their entire life from Bulugh, they had not missed tahajjud. This is their life. If you actually read, or if he was not a scholar, proper scholar, then he knew that he could not be a leader. The right-hand man would always be a scholar who will guide him. Why? Because it's not a scholar. It is the Quran, the Kalam of Allah. And you see that even Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not just identify a problem. In fact, Allah's Nabi was so unique that even before a problem would be in front of people, he provided the solution. Now, generally, you know that refugee crisis is not something that people like. Generally, people don't like refugees. People don't like refugees. No country likes to take on refugees. Now, in Makkah Mukarrama, the Muhajirin were expelled. They were refugees. Muhajirin were refugees. They were to take refuge in a foreign territory up north. In Medina Munawwara, the people of Makkah are completely different to the people of Medina. Completely different. The people of Makkah were different, the people of Medina were different. What a difficulty for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How is he going to tackle this issue? How are they going to settle down in a foreign territory? Subhanallah, Allah's Nabi, what a great man. When he gets to Makkah, Medina Munawwara, every single muhajir is made a brother of an ansar. And Allah's Nabi is sitting there and saying that I, the Nabi of Allah, has made you the brother. You are the brother of this man. And this man is the brother here, right? You too. Your relationship is more stronger than blood relationship. You come. You are the brother of this brother. This is the brother of... Subhanallah, you will not find no ikhtilaf. No problem. Why? Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave solution. What did he do? Gave solution. And this only comes when we understand the Quran. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam, gave a solution to the king. He was a well-wisher. The king has not even met him yet. But he says, no, no, this is what you have to do. Otherwise, things will be very, very difficult for you. Subhanallah al-Azim. That is one lesson that we learn from what we touched on in the last session. And then there is another also very important moral and lesson that we need to learn, is that when we look at the lives of every prophet, you will see a very similar pattern, that the lives of Anbiya is filled with trials and tribulation. All the time they are tested. Yet they are so powerful, so close to Allah, that they are always tested. Look at the life of Nuh alayhi salam. Very difficult. They would stone him. He would become unconscious. He would wake up still. He would do the works for 900 years. Ibrahim alayhi salam, they threw him in the fire. His own people, they said, you know what? Get out. They said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, get out from our community. Very difficult life for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun, his entire life, difficulty. Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, the Roman Empire was after him. They wanted to crucify him. They wanted to torture him and punish him. Very difficult life. The life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, very, very difficult. Now remember one thing, my respected brothers, that difficulty came upon these elite individuals, and difficulty also comes upon the people of Iman. We are told that the difficulty that you face in this world is nothing compared to hellfire in the hereafter. Any difficulty that you face is nothing compared to Jahannam in the hereafter. And no matter how comfortable a person is in this world, that comfort is no comparison to the comfort of Jannah in the hereafter. So the people of Iman go through a bit of difficulty. Why? Allah does not want their hearts to be inclined with this dunya. Otherwise, if everything goes in accordance to what they want, according to their plan,
then they will forget the hereafter. They will forget that you have to also die one day. So now and then Allah gives takleef to the people of Iman. A bit of takleef, what is it? A bit of takleef, turbulence, a bit of takleef is given so that his heart does not settle with this dunya because of your Iman is a receptor of Jannah. It does not connect with this dunya. It does not connect with this dunya. Now, I just want to answer one question that sometimes, you know, people may have in their mind and people have asked. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, the difficulty, the test, the trials, tribulations that I have gone through, no other person has faced such difficulty. Who said that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The difficulty that I have gone through, nobody else in life has gone gone through so much difficulty. The tests, the trials, subhanallah. Now this is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said. If we are to analyze, how is that possible? Because Allah's Nabi was only 63 years of age. How many years? 63. Other prophets were 500 years of age. Nuh alayhi salam, 900 years, 1000 years, Adam alayhi salam. And someone who has been blessed with such a long life, obviously they went through also great difficulty. And if we look into the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we see that until he was 40, there was no difficulty. They took him to be Sadiqul Amin. Because he did not then, at that time he did not say he's the Nabi. And then the 23 years, the most difficult years were the years in Makkah. That was only for how many years? 13 years. How many years? 13. And then in Medina, there was difficulty, but not like the difficulty in Makkah. So the last 10 years were not also so much difficult like the middle 13 years. But yet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, my takleef, the difficulty that I go through, no one has gone through like that. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he speaks only the truth. So how are we to understand this? How are we to understand this? Listen to this very carefully, because this is something that is going to help us all the time. My respected brothers, pain, difficulty, you know, trials and testing moments that are given to a person are of two types. One is pain that is given to the body. Pain that is given to the body. You are tortured, persecuted. That is pain given to the body. But one is pain that you can't measure. What is it? Pain that you can't measure. And that is the pain that is given to the heart. The pain that is given to the heart. The scholars say that the pain given to the heart is far more intense than the pain that is given to the body. And nowadays, for an example, even if a person goes to the hospital, you have anesthetic. Anesthetic is given, then there is no pain. You know, the chest is opened up, you know, everything, you might have a whole operation done, and then you wake up in the room and you say, how are you? A bit of pain. There's only a bit of pain after that, but really, you know, all the cutting and all that, there is no pain. Why? Because of anesthetic. But the pain of the heart is something that no one can measure. And each individual's level is very different. So for an example, so you have Brother Abdullah. Brother Abdullah is going through great difficulty in life. And so when he's going through difficulty in life, there is on one side the mother's pain and the sister's pain and the friend's pain and the neighbor's pain Do you think all the pains are equal? No. The most difficulty will be for who? For the mother. The pain of the mother will be 100%. What will it be? 100%. Why? Because of that attachment, because of that love. And the more love you have, even if a small pin was to prick you, ma ki ah nikal jati ho. What happened? What happened? Is my son okay? It happens, doesn't it, my respected brothers? The more love you have, the more attachment you have, then any kind of difficulty will have an effect immediately. What will it have? An effect immediately. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, despite the fact that his life was 63, scholars have mentioned that there is no heart like the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And his heart was the most pure. And the connection that he had with his ummah, the love that he had for his ummah at that time, be it Muslims or non-Muslims, but they are part of his ummah, that love was so high, it was at such a high level, that intensity was such, that if somebody did not accept Islam, or if somebody did not listen to him, one is the pain you give physically, and one is the pain you give to the heart. That pain would be felt to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in such a way that no other human being has felt pain like that. That is why the Quran says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ إِن لَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا. O my Nabi, nobody knows the condition of your heart but I do. The pain that you are taking in your heart is as if within seconds your soul will come out from your body. Can you imagine a condition that Allah's Nabi would be facing such difficulty at times that as if death would come to him? This is what the Quran is saying. And the Quran comes down to console him. Take it easy. Don't worry. Hidayat is in my hands. I will do this. I will do that. So that difficulty for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is immeasurable. What is it? You can't measure that. Because the love was so high. Just to give you an example, a man in his entire life made it a mission to hurt the Muslims. He was the leader of the hypocrites. What was he? He was the leader of the hypocrites. His son came and started to cry, and you know, my father, he's a munafiq, ya Rasulullah. He will be thrown in Jahannam. You know, what can you do? What can you do? Now, can anyone imagine Allah's Nabi took out his kurta? What did he do? He took out his kurta and he gave it to him. He says, you know what? People have kafan, but this munafiq, allow him to wear my kurta. Now this does not make any sense, does it really? He's a munafiq. But the issue here is for us to understand that the heart of a Nabi was so pure. What was it? So pure, and that love for his ummah to save anyone from the fire of Jahannam that he had seen, that he would go at any length to save someone, even if it meant that my kurta would give him temporary relief in qabr or some relief in the hereafter, that is even accepted. This was the love that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had. So in a positive note, it was positive, but in a negative way, this would give a lot of taklif to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Lot of taklif. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Lot of taklif. Why? Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his love for his ummah is amazing. That is why also in the hereafter, on the day of Qiyamah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sahaba and all of the awliyaullah will be with him, the malaika will come to him and they will say to him, Hazrat, this is the pulpit, why don't you sit on this pulpit? Allah's Nabi will say, if I sit on the pulpit, it will take me straight to Jannah. And I will not enter Jannah until I am satisfied of the people that enter Jannah. This is the love, this is the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And because of the condition of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this reflected also upon his companions. The companions were also so pure. The companions became also so pure. So when we say that no pain, there is no pain that can be compared to the pain that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is in this context. That the difficulty inwardly in the heart is something that is what? Immeasurable. That is why just one mas'ala for you to understand. A quiz question. If you are in your first salah and your mother calls you. You are in your first salah and your mother calls you. Umar Farooq, what will you do? Umar Farooq is saying, can you only see me? Umar Farooq, what will you do? Jaldi kare.
Go to
pray. Huh?
My mother.
Huh? Huh? Sorry?
I'll probably break my salah.
You'll break your salah and respond to your mother. Umar Sahib, what would you do? Huh?
It's a faraz.
Huh?
Salah.
It's a faraz. Right, Umar, you're right. This Umar is a bit wrong again, Ari bhai. Itne, it's atli majlis ma be. To be wrong thai, ya Allah. Anyway. When your mother calls you for farz namaz, farz I said, what did I say? You can't break your farz. What is it? You can't break your farz. But, if a Nabi was to call you, and you are praying your farz namaz, what are you to do? Break it. What is the masla? If a Nabi calls you in, and you are in the salah, you break your salah. But if a mother calls you, you don't. Because the pain that you give to your mother is nothing compared to the love that a Nabi has for you. Because the pain that you will give him, and Allah does not accept that you give your Nabi that pain. That is how the prophets were, Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. And so sometimes you will find there's a lot of sensitive people in this world. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayh, waliullah, waliullah. I mean, you read the, you know, Indian history and tarikh, subhanallah, today. You know, the Hindu community, they say, what have Muslims done? Are bhai, the independence you have is the barakat of Muslims. The fruits that you are eating, the coconuts that you are eating and drinking, in India, it is the barakat of the Muslims. Kya hai? Hazar saal, 1,000 years, Muslims ruled there. Maulana Gangohi rahmatullah alayh was a great scholar. Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayh Kandelwi was his ashik. You know, Maulana Ilyas loved him. Very often, Hazrat, he would go to meet Maulana Rashid Gangohi. One day, Maulana Rashid Gangohi came to the Alum Deoband, and all of them sat together. And so, when it's very hot in India, so they said, Hazrat, we'll make for you very nice cha. Very nice tea, chai. Hazrat said, tea. So they gave him chai. Now in India what happens, the chai, the cup is very small, and you have a saucer. You have a cup and a saucer. So they gave chai to Maulana Gangohi. So Maulana Gangohi put it to his mouth, one sip, and he says, oh, ye koi chai hai? What did he say? Is this chai? It's everything but chai. It is everything but a cup of tea. So they were all embarrassed. Hazrat, give it to us, we'll make another cup of tea. Okay? So they again gave him a second cup of tea, and Hazrat, in those days what happens is that you drink the tea in the saucer. So he put it in his mouth, and said, oh, same thing. There's no taste of tea in this. So there was one person, he says, no, let me tell you how to do it. So they went and they did the third cup of tea and they gave it to Hazrat. And then he said, ah, mashallah. What do you say? Ah, mashallah. Now people are wondering that, what is this? Twice rejected and the third time accepted. Now I'm just saying that how sometimes, you know, the condition of the heart is, some people's heart, it's very pure. Some people, you know, they can take offense also. So Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, what had happened is that when they were giving him tea, they would wash the cup. And when they were washing the cup, there was a bit of water that was left in the saucer. So when he would put tea, there was already water in the saucer. And because of that, he could not taste tea. Now, can you imagine that? So the third time tea was given to him, they made sure that the saucer is completely dry for him to taste the tea. Ajib. So what I'm trying to say, my respected brothers and elders, that in this world you'll find some people, for them, nothing happens to them. Why? Because they are attuned to that kind of living. But some people whose hearts are very pure, subhanallah, they will take offense. Some people, if you swear at them, you know, there's no issue. But some people who are not in the habit of swearing, and then if you swear at them, they will take offense. By what are you doing? What? How can you say this? Subhanallah al-Azim. And so what I'm saying, my respected brothers, difficulty comes, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that difficulty such that for the people of Iman, that difficulty is only because of a reason that their hearts don't incline with this dunya. Baat samajh mein aayi nahi, my respected brothers. There's a few things extra that I wanted to say, but some of you are getting tired now. So khair, let's look into the tafsir. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ اُتُونِ بِهِ. Now, when the interpretation of the dream was given to the king knew that this is not the job of a butler. So he said to the butler, where did you get this information? The butler had to say, "By the real man is in the prison. The real man is in the prison." So he said, prison? Who is he? Now the king was a just king. And he must have said that, you know, this is the story. He says, quickly get him out from the prison. Quickly get him out of the prison. The Quran says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ الرَّسُولُ. Here, look at the Quran. The Quran is using the term Rasul. This Rasul is not the Rasul of Allah. This is a messenger, an emissary, a messenger of the king. So when the messenger of the king got to the prison, he says, "Oh Yusuf, the release has been secured and now you come out of prison and the king wants to see you." Now my respected brothers and elders, truthfully, what a joyous moment that would be, that after staying in prison for 12 to 13 years and you are incarcerated and you are innocent and subhanallah, you've done nothing wrong. And so many years you are in prison, and then the king is telling you that now you are free. You would be very happy. You would be very happy. Immediately you will want to exit. Immediately you will want to exit. But not Yusuf alayhi salam. Ajib Nabi the. Yusuf alayhi salam, very calm, very intelligent. Very intelligent, very calm, collective. The Quran says, irji' ila rabbik. Yusuf alayhi salam is saying, wait. He said to the messenger, go back to your king. Go back to your fas'alhu. And ask him this question of mine. Ma balun niswati allati qatta'na aydiyahun. Ask him, what is the fate and the situation of the ladies that had severed their hands, that had cut their hands? Now he is not taking that opportunity. Even when the king has secured his release, the messenger is telling him that you are free to go by, you can go out of the prison. He is saying no. And then he says, "Inna Rabbi bikaydihinna alim." Verily my Lord, he has the full knowledge of their treachery. Of their treachery. He knows, Allah knows everything. Now I am not going to come out until you go back to the king. Now there was a possibility that the king could get angry. The king would say, who are you to put a condition on me? You know, I don't even know you and you don't even know me. I am giving you the release and you are saying no to that. Fine. Stay there. There is every possibility that this would have happened. But khair, What happens, the Quran says, when the messenger came with this message to the king invited the ladies that were invited by the governor's wife, whose hands were severed. So when the ladies were in front of the king, he said, Qala, the king said here, Qala, the king, Ma khatbukunna. Look, what is the matter? What is your news and what is your situation? إِذْ رَاوَتُنَّ يُوسُفْ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. You know, tell me about your story. When you wanted to seduce Yusuf, when you wanted to seduce Yusuf. So all of the ladies in front of the king, they said, قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. All of them said, God forbid, Allah forbid. حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. Allah forbid. مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سُوهِ. You know, they said to the king, the truth is that we have never witnessed anything bad from this man. We have never witnessed anything evil from this man. And then, now, with the group of ladies, remember, Yusuf didn't ask for the governor's wife. He didn't ask for the governor's wife. But the Quran is saying the governor's wife was also called. So the king also spoke to her possibly. But then the governor's wife spoke. قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ. Aziz here, the governor's wife, the minister's wife. She says, الْآنَ حَسْحَسَ الْحَقِّ. That now when the truth has opened up, I am going to confess the truth. أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. You know, I wanted to seduce him. وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. And she said to the king, you know what, he is the most honest, truthful person you can find. He's the most truthful person. And when this message was given to Yusuf alayhi salam, the Quran says, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ. Yusuf alayhi salam says, the reason for me not to come out from the prison is so that people should know that I have not betrayed the governor bil ghayb behind his back. I have not betrayed, you know, I have not gone out with somebody's wife. I have not betrayed the governor's, And it is the wife that wanted to seduce me. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. And the sunnah of Allah is that Allah does not guide the treachery of those who want betrayal. Now here, the scholars have mentioned, Yusuf alayhi salam knew that if the king is calling him, the king will also want to give him a position. The king will want to give him a position. But if he gives him a position and there are rumors already in the city, and if people are still thinking that there is a possibility, maybe also Yusuf had something to do with it. Maybe Yusuf also had something to do with this. So what he wanted to do is for 100% to clear the air out that before I exit the prison, it must be noted by the king, by the minister, by the women that were there, and by the people in Egypt. And this should be the news that as I come out from prison, I am totally innocent. I am totally innocent. Now when you clear yourself in this manner, then thereafter if a position is given to you, more people will want to respect you and more people will want to listen to you also, because the mind has been cleared. The mind has been cleared. So this was Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, very, very intelligent, and he said, no, I will not come out. And then it was the king that made sure that he spoke to the ladies, he spoke to the governor's wife, Zulaykha, and he spoke to everybody and he got to the truth. And this information was given to the governor. In fact, the governor knew about this also. The king also knew about it. And then with honor and respect, he gave that information back to Yusuf alayhi salam and wanting him to come out of prison, wanting him to come out of prison. So inshallah ta'ala, in our next session, we will start again from here. Again, there are so many masail, my respected brothers. If you look at the tafsir, there is so many things that I still have to mention from the last session. But alhamdulillah, you know, three ayats that we have covered today, and inshallah we will cover again from verse number 53, 54, 55 in the next session. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Inshallah, just for a few minutes, if you close your eyes and inshallah meditate and do muraqabah. The cleansing of the heart is very, very important, mashallah. Let the name of Allah settle in your heart and think that every time your heart that is beating, it is actually calling the name of Allah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Brothers are reminded, mashallah, there is great reward for fasting tomorrow, and so if there is a possibility, if you have health and mashallah, if you can fast, there is great reward. تو کل روزہ رکھنے کی کوشش کریں.